Now, this morning we are going to begin a new series looking at the whole idea of asking some questions. And over the next few weeks, we're going to ask the question, what is? And we've got a variety of topics that we'll be thinking about. But this morning we are going to think about what is a Christian? Now, we all, of course, have questions in everyday life, don't we? And I'm not just talking about small everyday questions that we sometimes have to think through. I'm talking about the big questions of life that sometimes we are faced with. The ones that we ponder late at night about the world, about the universe, about God perhaps, about life and existence. Those are sometimes the questions that we need to engage with. I think most people would agree that life is busier than it has ever been. And if people are not working, there are endless things to distract us and keep us entertained, from Facebook to Twitter to Netflix. We have Google at our fingertips and Alexa at our beck and call. We're a generation which often faces information overload, and which is addicted to smartphones and tablets. And I'm not just talking about the younger generation. I've seen many who are retired in cafes, especially before lockdown, who are busy, not looking at each other, but looking at their phones. However, during lockdown, because of coronavirus, a lot of people found that they suddenly had time that they didn't have before. They were perhaps furloughed from work, and travelling, especially in the early days of lockdown, was, of course, restricted, and you couldn't go very far. And so people couldn't really go anywhere, people couldn't really do much, and so there's only so much you can watch on TV, isn't there? Only so much that you can look at online. And for people who suffer from time poverty, suddenly we were faced with a situation where we had time on our hands. That's why so many people took up new hobbies, baking and sewing and more, which led, of course, to shortages in the shops of some baking ingredients. But also during this time, I think it gave people time to think and to reflect, to think about life and what's important in life, and maybe to think about some of those big questions, to think about their own mortality, to think about eternal things. Now, one of the really interesting things during the lockdown period was the huge interest and huge increase in interest in online church services. And many more people were watching a service online than would usually go to a physical service in a church building. Prayer, as a search term on Google, went through the roof during lockdown. So people were clearly searching for something, looking for those big answers to the questions about life. You see, when life goes on normally, we don't have time necessarily to think through the big questions. We have good intentions sometimes of thinking through those big questions, but a lack of time to do anything about those questions. But the coronavirus lockdown has given us time, and it's also done something else. You see, in our sanitized world in the West, it's also brought us face to face with mortality. Death is not something that we tend to want to think about. And yet, through this pandemic, many have been hospitalized, many, sadly, have passed away. And this has brought us face to face with the reality that life is short. Now, with all these things being said today, I want to ask this first question that we're going to look at in this series. And the question is, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? If people are searching for answers and have been during this lockdown period, if people have been going online searching about prayer and trying to find an online service, surely it's a good question, first of all, to ask, well, what is a Christian? What is Christianity all about. Now, as we come to worship today, we might think to ourselves, well, I know what a Christian is. You might even come to the streamed service today saying, you know, I am a Christian. And this might be the case, of course. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's actually a lot of confusion out there as to what a Christian really is. You see, some people simply equate a Christian with being a good person. Now, of course, you would hope that a Christian would display their faith by their good deeds, but there, of course, are plenty of people who would be seen as good people who, of course, wouldn't profess to be a Christian. Some would say that a Christian is someone who goes to church and goes to church services. And that, of course, might be true. But as Nicky Gumbel, who started the Alpha Course, who was the main minister at Holy Trinity Brompton down in London, says, he said this in the Alpha Course: being in McDonald's doesn't necessarily make you a hamburger, and being in a garage doesn't necessarily make you a car. And so going to a church does not necessarily mean that you are a Christian. And I guess that during this time, when the church has not physically been able to meet in the building, that this has caused many to reevaluate what being a Christian and what faith is all about. Because going to a service on a Sunday in a church building is something that we haven't been able to do for 5 months or so. Yes, we're doing it today, but we haven't been able to do that for 5 months or so. And when we are back today, it's going to be a very different scenario, isn't it? The church hasn't been physically able to meet in the building. And therefore, we have, by necessity, needed to think through what faith is about and what's important in terms of the Christian faith. And so I thought it would be useful this morning to go back to basics, so to speak, and to ask the question, what is a Christian? And to do so, I thought it would be good for us to have a think about this question by using 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as a base. You see, in this passage, the Apostle Paul very much goes back to the basics. You see, in 1 Corinthians, this letter to the church in Corinth, he's gone through some quite advanced topics as to how to live out the Christian life. There's some quite deep and difficult teaching in this letter. He's just been speaking in chapters 12 and 14 about spiritual gifts. And in chapter 13, he's been speaking about the whole area of love. But after speaking about some quite difficult things, here in chapters 15, as he comes to the end of this letter, he wants to bring these Corinthian Christians back to the fundamentals of the gospel and what the gospel is all about. And he starts by saying in verse 1, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Now, Paul wants to do this at the end of this letter, to go back to the fundamentals of the faith. Because so often in life, we are prone to forget, aren't we? We only have the capacity, most of us, to take in a certain amount of information, but then after a while, we forget what we learned at the start, especially if it's something new. I know that driving lessons are beginning again once more very soon. And I wonder if you remember back to when you were learning to drive. And to begin with, it seemed really complicated, didn't it? You had to turn the key in the ignition, make sure your foot was down in the clutch, you know, check your mirror, check that you're not in gear or anything like that. You've got to go through all these checks. To begin with, it seems really difficult. You're worried that you'll forget something. After a while, with experience, it becomes like second nature. We can often forget things in life, can't we? And this can be true in the Christian life as well. We can quickly forget the basics of the faith. But Paul wants to return to the basics of the faith here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because as he says in verse 2, it is by this gospel that you are saved. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. In other words, there is no other gospel that can save. There's no other good news that can save effectively. There's no other gospel that can bring salvation. Only the gospel that Paul is bringing to the Corinthian Christians. So the question therefore comes, what is the gospel that Paul preached? What is it? What is it that will bring salvation to us? Well, Paul makes it clear in the next few verses where he shares what he's passed on as of first importance. Firstly, he says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And what Paul is making clear here is that our sins must be paid for. We can't burn off our sin or our wrongdoing. We can't cover over our sin with good works. This isn't like, you know, a pair of scales where if you do more good things and bad things, then that's fine, God will accept you. It doesn't work that way, because God is a holy and a perfect God. We need someone to pay the price for our sin. And it's fundamental to the Christian faith that Christ Jesus died for our sins. And so immediately, Paul brings us to the cross, the place where Jesus died in our place as our substitute, and Jesus pays for our sin. And it was always meant to be this way. That's what Paul says, that Christ died according to the Scriptures. This was the promise that was done in the Old Testament. The second thing is this. Jesus was buried, so he truly died. And then he rose again on the third day, again, as the Scriptures said he would. So what Paul is pointing at here is the resurrection, that Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, but then rose again on the third day. The death had been conquered, the devil defeated. And this, of course, gives us hope, doesn't it? Because if Jesus has risen from the dead, then we too have the hope of the resurrection. We too have the hope of life, and life in all its fullness. And Paul then goes on to speak of the witnesses to these events. That after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. So this wasn't a hallucination. This wasn't something that was happening in their imagination. And he also appeared to James, James being the main leader in the early church. And then finally to Paul, memorably, on the Damascus Road, which of course gave Paul authority for his apostleship. So what Paul is speaking about here is not that Jesus rose in people's hearts, that sometimes you will hear, but that Jesus physically rose from the dead. This was a historical event that really and truly took place. And there are witnesses to the fact that it happened. So therefore, with these two things in mind, Jesus dying for our sin on the cross and then rising again on the third day, what therefore is a Christian? Well, a Christian is someone who believes and trusts in Jesus for their salvation. It's someone who recognizes that they are a sinner before a holy and almighty God and who knows that they need forgiveness. It's someone who understands that Jesus has come into the world, God's only begotten Son. He's come into the world as the Savior of the world, and he pays for our sin on the cross. And by believing and trusting in him, our sins are forgiven, paid in full by Jesus. And because we are forgiven, and because we are made righteous in God's sight, it means that we can have a relationship with God, because the barrier of sin is broken. You see, it's believing that Jesus rose again on the third day, and because of the resurrection, that we have the hope of life and being with God forever and ever. And as Paul witnessed to Jesus and shared the gospel, so we too, now in 2020, are called to be witnesses to Jesus in the place where God has set us. You see, Christianity is not about tradition. It isn't about good works, although hopefully these are evident in the Christian's life as we in gratitude realize all that God has done for us. It isn't about meeting in a building, as we've learned over these past few months, even though that's, of course, something that we've probably missed, that corporate worship together. And next week, God willing, we'll look at the whole idea of what is the church, what is the place for the church, especially in the period in which we are living. Being a Christian is about having a living, real, active relationship with God brought to us by Jesus through the cross and the resurrection. This is at the heart of the Christian faith. You see, these last few months have given people space to reflect and to think about eternal things, to think about what's important in life. For the Christian, the most important thing is that we are right with God, and everything else in our life flows from that. You see, we can't be right with God through our own actions. It's only through Jesus. As the hymn says that we'll close with today, in Christ alone, my hope is found. There's no one else in whom we can find hope, only in Jesus. If you're watching this stream today, and you've been thinking through some of these questions, and you know deep in your heart that you're not a Christian, and you've never really engaged with what Christianity is all about, or really, when we've gone through this today, you had a different idea as to what a Christian is. You just thought, oh, you know, it's a good person. It's, you know, someone who's moral. It's someone who's, you know, living by, you know, the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. That's not what a Christian is. And maybe that surprised you today. But as you've heard me speaking about Jesus dying on the cross, rising again to new life, what do you make of it? You see, the invitation is to come to Jesus, to put your faith and your trust in him, to know the hope and love that is found in him. You see, God really, really wants you to come to him. He really, really wants you to know him. Sometimes we think that God is, you know, away up there, and he's got one of these, you know, these foam kind of hands you used to get them in gladiators in the 1990s, you know, the foam kind of hands. Sometimes we think God has got like a foam hand, and he's just pointing at us, accusing us, just waiting for us to make a mistake. Nothing could be further from the truth. God sent Jesus into the world that you might come to him, that you might have the hope of an eternity spent with him forever, that you might know peace and joy in your hearts, that you might know the depth of love that God has for you. You see, sending Jesus into a dark and needy world was not just a cold transaction. You know, I'll give Jesus and then I can have you. That's not what it's about. This was the living God telling us he loves us. Do you know his love today? Come to Jesus. And if you are a Christian, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you know really what it's all about, But you realize that, over the years, or over the months, over the years, over the decades perhaps, maybe you realize you've lost your way, that you've ended up being caught up in tradition or trying to, earn your salvation. Come back to Jesus. Come back to that which is of first importance, and give thanks to God for all that he has done for you, and know the joy of your salvation. What is a Christian? Is someone who trusts and believes in Jesus, who believes that Jesus died for them, who believes that Jesus rose again to new life, who believes that we as sinners can't save ourselves. We can only trust in God and trust in his grace and his mercy for us. And God has shown us love and mercy in Jesus. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. And we thank you for the way that at the end of this letter, Paul comes back to that which is of first importance. He brings us back to the cross where Jesus died for our sin, that we might be forgiven, that we might be covered by his blood, and we might be seen as righteous in your sight. But we thank you, Lord God, that as we gaze upon that wondrous cross, that that cross is empty, because Jesus is no longer there. Neither is he in the tomb, because the stone has been rolled away. Because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And because Jesus is risen, we know that death has been conquered. We know that the devil has been defeated. We have hope in Jesus. Hope of an eternity with you, Lord God, forever and ever and ever. Lord God, we ask for your forgiveness for those times when we've trusted in ourselves for our salvation, those times when we've trusted in tradition, or we've gone through the motions in our faith. We pray that you would bring us back to yourself, that we would be ever trusting in you, and we would know the joy of our salvation. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word, we pray. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.